Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we have the ordination and installation of new office bearers. This is always an important matter and is a biblical and necessary part of our faith and life as the Church of Jesus Christ. God is a God of order and has given guidelines and principles and offices in the church to ensure that, as he reminds us in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 10, everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. Without some order or structure, there would be anarchy. Left to ourselves, even as Christians, we would either be anarchists, where everyone just does what they think is right in their own eyes, as in the days of the judges in the Old Testament, or come under some form of tyranny by leaders, as seen so often in cult religions. And so everywhere where Christ has instituted his church, he wants that church governed according to his word. This is something that Christ has taught us in his word. The church does not have church government because it thinks it might be a good idea or because countries have governments, but because Christ has taught us so in his word. And as people of the word, as people of Jesus Christ, grafted into and united with Christ as his bride, we are called upon to turn to his word, to understand and to see what we believe about how Christ governs his people. And this afternoon, our text speaks to us about the authority and the responsibility of office bearers and our responsibility as a church to obey and submit to their authority in Christ. I bring you God's word this afternoon with the following theme: our relationship, our responsibility to Christ's leadership in the church. Beloved, this afternoon we are ordaining and installing two brothers, Andre Hummelman and Phil Minderhout, to the office of elder. These men, along with those already in office, are called by Christ through the church to care for the spiritual well-being of God's people. We read in Acts 20, verse 28, Paul speaking to the leaders of the church, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood." And beloved, we need to see that Christ gives authority to office bearers to oversee his church, of which he is the head. As we read in Matthew 16, verse 19, Jesus telling the disciples, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." We are called to obey and submit to the spiritual leaders of the church because their authority comes from Christ. And our text in verse 17 reminds us of this by saying, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive." The wisdom that is spoken of here first is an admonition to obedience. Obey those who rule over you. Just as the government that is over us has authority over us, rules over us, governs us, and makes laws which are called to keep, we are called to keep and live by, because of the authority vested in them by God, so too with the elders. A father has authority in his home because of his office as father. And parents have authority over their children because of their office as parents. In the same way, in the church, with office bearers, we are to obey them and to submit to their authority, not because of who they are as a person, but because of their office. Christ cares for his church through these God-ordained offices. Our Lord has appointed leaders in the church to rule and to guide and to help and to shepherd us on Christ's behalf. The leaders in the church are called by God to lead and guide God's people in the Word of God. This is their first task. They are governed by God's Word and are called to govern God's people according to God's word. We read in Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12, how Christ has given us leaders to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And now, beloved, our text in Hebrews goes on to bring this out more and explains further why we are called to obey and submit to the elders. We go on to read in verse 17, "For they watch out for your souls as those who must give account." Beloved, our text reminds us of the huge responsibility office bearers have. These are not light words. As office bearers, these words can cause one to even tremble. The fact that we must give an account and that we are called to watch out for the souls of God's people. Christ has given office bearers the task of being shepherds over his people, the sheep of his pasture, to see to their spiritual well-being. Office bearers are called to love God's people. They are to pray for them, to minister to them, to care for them, and to teach and to instruct them. As Christ's servants, they are called to exercise discipline, to ensure that everything is always done decently and in good order. They have a responsibility to rule the church according to God's word and ensure that the purity of doctrine and holiness of life is practiced. They are called to maintain the purity of the word and sacraments, to see to it that wolves do not come in and devour us as God's people. And if they see an enemy coming, then they need to sound the watchman, the trumpet, as watchmen on the walls of Zion. And the fact that our text says they keep watch out for your souls means that they lie awake at night. That is what the verb keep watch literally means, to keep oneself awake. Beloved, oftentimes it is the case that elders, that they lose sleep over God's people, worrying and caring for the spiritual well-being and of how they may try to help and support us in our faith. And they're watching over our souls. God's people need to be motivated by an awareness that they have to give an account to God for the way that they care for the flock. Leaders are accountable to God. They have to answer to God. The sobering fact is that spiritual responsibility brings with it a higher level of responsibility and judgment. As James wrote in James 3 verse 1, "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly." Beloved, increased responsibility means increased accountability. Jesus followed up the parable of the foolish manager by saying in Luke 12, verse 48, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." Office bearers in the church have been entrusted with much. The flock, the church, the souls and the lives of God's people. And so much is asked of them. We read in 1 Peter 5 verse 2 and following, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." Beloved, because office bearers are not serving themselves or the good of themselves, but the good of us as God's people, and must give an account of what they do before God, we are also called then to make their work a joy through obedience and faith. An office bearer does not serve for their own benefit, but for ours. What better reason also then could there not be for us to not gladly live by their instruction and care?
Our text says in verse 17, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Here again, we are given some very practical, godly, pastoral advice as a congregation. Our obedience is what makes spiritual leadership a joy and not a grief. Obedience makes life better for all concerned. The fact is that leadership in the church can often cause grief. The phrase here, not with grief, literally means not with groaning. Without a doubt, the single greatest discouragement any office bearer faces is a congregation that does not respect or willingly submit to the teaching and the instructing and the guiding and the caring that office bearers have a responsibility to give. We need to just take the example of the home. Parenting becomes a burden when our children are always arguing with us, never listening with us, and in rebellion, wanting to do things their own way. As parents, parenting is a joy when our children listen to us and obey us when we ask them to do things or instruct them in how to live their lives, and they follow that instruction. Then parenting is a great joy and a delight, and there is peace in the home. In the same manner, joy comes in the work that God calls men to do in the church. When we as a church submit and obey, realizing always that when we do, we are really submitting to and obeying Christ, who is caring for us through them. We read in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 12, now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. And beloved, our text goes on to say that when this is not the case, that would be unprofitable for you. There are few richer blessings in life than a unified, godly, spiritual church that is in submission to God's word, and with each of us playing a vital role in building up such a body. When shepherds and sheep live in harmony before the Lord, then a taste of heaven will be in us even while we walk here on the face of this earth. But now in the light of all that has been said, what we also need to confess is that there is not one office bearer who does not realize his need of God's grace in all of this. Paul himself said in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 16, who is sufficient for these things? God has called weak, earthen, sinful human vessels to be the instruments of his rule and mercy in the life of the congregation. This task is an overwhelming one, and no one can do this on their own strength. And each day, those who are called to office must realize how much they have failed in so many ways, how much more they could have done, how they fall short in keeping watch over those whom they have to give an account. And so it is no wonder that we read in our text in verse 18, pray for us. The office bearers of this church need your prayers. They cannot do it on their own. They need help from God each day to carry out the task that is held out before them. And so prayer is the greatest ministry anyone can offer for an elder, a deacon, or the minister. If we do not pray for our leaders, then we fail to realize both their importance for the church and the frailty of their sinful nature, which like yours, like mine, is flesh in all of its weakness. Beloved, we need to pray for the protection of our leaders, both from spiritual attack and the normal dangers of life in this world. We need to pray for them in knowing God's word,
to rightly divide God's word. We need to be praying always that the Lord gives them the strength and the zeal to contend for the faith, to be watchmen on the walls of Zion, and that God equips them to be able to protect the flock from the wolves who want to so often devour. We need to always be praying that the Lord gives our office bearers, elders, shepherding hearts that display love and patience and gentleness in what they do, and not become discouraged in their care over our souls and our lives. Only God can make this possible. Only God can qualify those called to office. And only God can work in our hearts a submission to His will and His care over us. And so as these men take up their respective offices, together with those who are already serving, we look to God for His help and blessing on them and on all of us by taking on our lips and heart the words of the verses 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.